Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I'm happy to have you here for the Bible study we began last week, and I invite you to please open your Bible to Exodus, where we will be working today. Remember that we are in the book of Exodus to trace the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. The Apostle Paul sent us here from Romans because in Romans 9 and verses 17 and 18, he writes, "For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth.' So then God has mercy on whom he desires, and God hardens whom he desires." What does it mean that God hardens whom he desires? And just to make certain that we bring everyone who is tuning in along with us in the Bible, I'm setting up the contest between the one true and living God and Pharaoh and the small g gods of Egypt. Then we will hunker down specifically on the hardened heart. On Friday, we left off in Exodus chapter 5, learning how difficult the Egyptians made the lives of the Israelites. Let's pick up today in this fifth chapter in verses 21 through 23. If you are off-road, I hope you can pick up your copy of God's Word and join me in Exodus. I am in the fifth chapter in verse 21. And the context is that life for the Israelites has become so harsh that Moses, the leader of God's people, and his brother Aaron are confronted by the Jews. Verse 21. "They said to Moses and Aaron, 'May the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us.' Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all.' The people complained to Moses, and Moses complained to the Lord. On up the chain of command we go. There is not a spiritual leader from any context listening to me right now who cannot relate to this, pastors and elders in churches especially. Just try leading God's people and see how many complaints you get that you then translate into prayers. Anyway, life for the Israelites is very hard. But in chapter 6, God answers Moses, and God assures Moses that he has heard his people and he will act. This is Exodus 6, verse 6, God speaking to Moses. "Say, therefore, to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." God then commands Moses to speak to the Pharaoh. And in chapter 7, the action really heats up. Moses and Aaron appear before the Pharaoh. And let me just insert this here. Remember that Moses grew up in Egypt. In fact, he grew up in Pharaoh's household. So it is not a strange thing for Moses to be in the presence of the Pharaoh at the palace. It is not like he has never been there before, although this time in a much different capacity. At God's instruction, Aaron throws down his staff and it becomes a serpent. However, the Egyptian wise men, sorcerers, and magicians do the same. Interesting. Do not ask me how they do it, but they do. And yet Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. And then in verse 17 of Exodus chapter 7, we get the first plague. "Thus says the Lord, 'By this you shall know that I am the Lord, Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. And that is exactly what happened. Oh, and also the Egyptian wise men, sorcerers, and magicians repeated this miracle as well. There was a whole lot of blood running through that river water. Turning to Exodus chapter 8, we read about plagues 2, 3, and 4, and each time the plague comes because Pharaoh will not let God's people go that they may serve God. I am in Exodus 8 and reading verse 6. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The second plague is a plague of frogs. And again, the Egyptians performed the same. Interesting. Well, despite the nasty reality of having a land full of frogs, Pharaoh will not back down. And so in verse 17, God sends the gnats. From frogs to gnats, this is getting progressively worse. I mean, at least a frog can be cute. My sister-in-law collects them. Not real frogs, but ceramic frogs, pewter frogs. But gnats? Gnats are flying insects. And I do not know about you, but count me out on gnats. If I had been the Pharaoh, this would have been enough for me. But Pharaoh persists. He is not letting God's people leave. And this time his magicians cannot use their secret arts to replicate the sudden appearance of millions of flying insects. Well, if a river of blood and frogs and gnats do not move the heart and mind of Pharaoh, then what about swarms of flies? This was plague number 4. I'm reading Exodus 8, verse 24. Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Yikes! Everywhere in Egypt, except Goshen, where the Israelites lived, a dividing line being drawn by God between his people and Pharaoh's people. But everywhere there are massive swarms of flies. Every time I think of this, I remember visiting my aunt Margaret in Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire. She and my uncle lived on farms because he was a farmer. Well, if you know anything about farmhouses, they draw flies. And as kids, we learned how to swat those suckers with a fly swatter. Carefully sneaking up on the fly as it landed on the wall. Steady now. Whack! I got him! On one visit, my aunt introduced us to electric fly swatters, a machine that hung at the outside corner of the house. Covered in a wire mesh grid, the fly flew into it and bzzz, you could literally hear the fly die. The electrodes discharged, and this initial discharge usually stunned and killed the fly. And the best was when you could hear a bunch of flies getting fried. Now, please do not write to me and tell me that flies are people too, and what we witnessed was cruelty to animals. These were flies. And you can even imagine how many of these gadgets the Egyptians would have needed to control the God-ordained outbreak of swarms of flies. It was impossible to contain, and still their fearless leader Pharaoh would not relent. And so we come to Exodus chapter 9. And in this chapter, we read about three more plagues. In verse 6, the fifth plague of disease upon the Egyptian livestock. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. In Exodus 9, verse 10 is the sixth plague, boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. And in verse 23, the seventh plague, Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, And the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire ran down to the earth. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. The seventh plague was hail. After this plague, at least Pharaoh admits to being a sinner. This is Exodus 9, verse 27. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Ah, but then there is verse 34. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Moving on, in Exodus 10, we have plagues 8 and 9. Exodus 10, verse 13 tells us about locusts. So Moses stretched out his hand over the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought locusts. And plague number 9 is darkness. I'm reading Exodus 10, verse 22. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. The Israelites, God's people, had light, but the Egyptians, Pharaoh's people, were plunged into darkness. Well, there is one more plague we have to read about, and we will do that next time. The point of this exercise is to get context and background regarding the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Yes, that is true. But what we will really see is God's heart in saving his people and bringing them out of Egypt. In a series by the title God Saves, we surely must mention the Exodus from Egypt. God puts his salvation on brilliant display. Read Exodus chapters 5 through 15 for yourself. That's Exodus 5 through 15. And then join us again tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.